Okay, as usual, I'm running slightly late, which means absolutely nothing. Everything's great. Two things really quick before I get started. We're going to be getting into some, I think, with some interesting stuff about, it's kind of a cooking thing. It's about deviled ham. And then we're going to get into some medical stuff about swine flu. Okay. It's in Mark chapter 4. It's in the Bible. Don't worry. It's just like the only car that's in there. It's like they all were in one accord. You know, it's got it. They just grabbed the Honda. Anyway, so, but two things really quick, guys. Number one is I shot a video last night here. It's very, very short, and I want everybody to watch that. It's very close to my heart, but it's very quick and down to the point. Mostly, as good as I do at that. And I just want you to watch that. And if you like it, share it. If you don't, send me an email and say that's stupid. Okay, whatever. It's all the same. But the other thing is, guys, I want to tell you that God is good. I want to do my testimony this morning that he has been, I've been spending a little bit more time, a little bit deeper, and he has been pulling back. He's been blowing away the smoke in some areas. How's that? And it's very interesting. So let's go to Mark. And how many of you know every time God wants to do something, the enemy wants to keep him from it? It's warfare, right? So Mark chapter 4, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there and then jump over into 5. And as we look at this 24, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. To whoever has, to him more will be given. To whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And a lot of people look at that and they go, what? Okay, and I get it. Okay, that's kind of a what moment. So I want you to imagine that we want to have a tomato patch this spring, okay? Because, you know, we like tomatoes, okay? And we're always looking for people to bring them by and drop them off. Anyway, because they're all the taste and none of the work. But anyway, but the point, it's kind of like them eggs. All right. So, but the point being is this. Guys, I want you to imagine that Carrie decides she's going to buy 100 tomato plants and drop them off at my house. Okay? And she's going to put them out there. She's not going to plant them or anything. She's going to drop them off because she's busy. Got things going on. Okay? So I got 100 tomato plants in my front yard just waiting on me. So they're there, right? Everything, all the basic elements are there for me to have a bunch of tomatoes to both eat myself and share with my friends, maybe even can them for later, or, you know, get Lauren to do that. Okay, whatever. Because he can do it and I can't. You know, when I do it, they turn black. They turn black later. Who? Oh, yeah. But you could can them.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We got canners. We got the canning society. Okay. Anyway, but here's the deal. It's a club. Canning club. Okay. For $19.95. No, okay. But you can join the canning club. No, but anyway, but the point is this. Watch this. They're out there in my yard. All the potential in the world is for me to have tomatoes myself, for my friends to have tomatoes. Might even sell tomatoes if you got that many. Okay. But then I get hungry, and I think, I wonder what those taste like just in the plant. So I go out there, just like everybody from the South, okay? I get a big pan of grease going, okay, and some meat going in there, and then I cut up like 30 of them tomato plants, and I throw them in there, and I do it, and then we just all eat the plants, right? Is that what they're designed for? Not to be consumed on ourselves, but to be planted for the future. And God gives us all the potential in the world. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Is that what Jesus said after he rose from the dead? Okay. He says, go in the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. We got all of this right, this potential, and this is what it's talking about here. What measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now watch this. How much grace do you think it took for God to forgive this redneck of his sins? A bunch, okay? Some of y'all more, because I know, you know, I know your story. Some of y'all less, okay, because you're a good person. You see what I'm saying? But guess what? It took a lot for all of us, right? But think about this. I get all of this grace, all of this potential. I receive that. It's out in my front yard. Now, what am I going to do with it? Am I just going to use it on myself and have a good time? Or am I going to, yeah, have a good time is important. But number two, give that to every, plant that in everybody around me. And what we're talking about, remember what it says? Is this like, this is the parable of the sower. It's in the same context of the sower. I sow that grace, and guess what? I receive grace. And I've told you guys, some of y'all, this story. My parents entertained everybody in the world. Come to the house, feed them, stay with them all the time. And when it was so hilarious that everywhere I went, even in foreign countries, people just opened their doors to me. Because they had planned. They don't know my parents. It's a spiritual concept. And listen, and you wouldn't believe how much favor and grace that I've had in my life because of stuff that they've done. And then I've come behind and took that and replanted that. And do you want grace? Do you want somebody ever think, do you want to have to share with the whole world everything you thought last week? Every time you were irritated or every time you looked at your neighbor's truck and wanted it more than yours or whatever, okay, right? Okay, not that I'd ever do anything like that. Okay, you know, guns, watches, trucks. Anyway, okay, motorcycle. Okay, whatever. Okay, but anyway, here's the point. Huh? Squirrel. There's a squirrel. Okay, but I like squirrels. It's fried. Oh, they're great. Okay, so anyway. So are you willing to plant those tomatoes, or you want to eat those tomatoes in with your, what do you want to do? Eat the tomato plants, or you want to grow them up, you want to plant them, and then share it with the world? That's what I want to do, because I believe that is not what God suggests. I don't think it's a suggestion. I think it's a commandment, okay? So let's do that, okay? That was the first one, okay? But here's the deal. We, as we get into verse 26, 4 and 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. There is no way. You've heard this story too. It's also about tomatoes, okay? I actually bought tomatoes, put them in the ground, and I like go out the next day and say, why ain't you got no tomatoes on you yet? Okay. And I'd look at it and I'd strain. I'd say, you're a good tomato plant. I just know you can grow, you know, but here's the deal. I can't make that happen. Did you know you can't make that happen? You can do what you're supposed to do. You can put some miracle grow or whatever that is and whatever, make sure it gets watered, make sure it gets enough sun or whatever. But, and sometimes it will. And we've bought tomato plants before, and they never did anything, okay, because they didn't like me. Okay, but the point being is this, guys. We are not in control. How many of you guys may have a slight control issue? Slight, just slight, ever so slight, okay, ever so small. That's mine, just tiny, almost, you know. I didn't inherit it from my mom or anything, you know, just everything exactly what I, you know, okay. But anyway, I'm going to tell you, we have to relinquish control from everything we think we can control. And I want to tell you what God's really good at. It's prying your hand off the rudder of the ship. He's very good at that. And when that happens, we always curse the devil. And sometimes I'm wondering is if God is not making us into what we're called to be, to allow him to be in control. So here's the deal. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which is sown in the ground, is smaller than the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out of large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. We've talked about this before. It's been a year or two, three or four, whatever. You know, when you're having, I've only been here 22 years, so when you're having fun, you know, sometimes you, you know, might repeat yourself once or twice, thousand times. Okay, say the same things. So anyway, here's the deal. Watch this. I got trees in my front yard and the backyard. Occasionally the limb will fall off and remind me that it's there, and, you know, go through my camper or something small. But anyway, but the point is this, guys, literally, in those trees in my front yard, I was out there polishing my motorcycle one time, wiping it off, and I'm getting the bugs off the front and everything before I went on a trip, and I'm washing it off and I'm doing that, and I feel something hit me on the head, and it was a bird bombed me. Bird bomb is what we call this, okay? And then I looked down on my motorcycle, I'm like, I just cleaned that. And then I wiped that off, you know. And then, anyway, bird bombs. Okay, we know what those are without going into detail. Okay, explicit detail. But anyway, but the point being is, here's the deal. The kingdom of heaven, we always want it to be, well, it's got to be like this. It's got to be like this. No, it's a big tree. It's a big tree. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Did you know that's what the Bible says? Did you know that's what the Bible says? Okay. So, and some people say, well, you know, that's just cheap grace. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Every time I hear that word, I want to say that grace was paid for. Amen. By the beating, the death, the very blood of the man that I love more than anything else. That's not cheap. Amen. Okay. So, anyway, here's the deal. The birds of the air are in there, and it gets kind of messy, okay? The body of Christ. David, me and you used to have a conversation about unity in the body of Christ, and we preach unity, and God says, Jesus in his prayer, he says, you know, let them all be one as you and I is one, so they'll know I came from you. And we're the most unified we've ever been. There's only 368 major divisions in the church. So, you know, just 368. So that's, you know, we're just all walking together. Okay, and people talking about this one, and they're too much this, they're that, and this. And I grew up with all that, and I'm not going to do it. Guess what? Anybody in the world this morning who is saying Jesus died on the cross for your sins, they are my brother and sister, you know? And I'm not going to, okay, I'm not the fruit inspector, okay? I'm not. I'm not the judge. I'm not, oh, you are the fruit inspector? Oh, yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, he does. Yeah, but anyway, but the point being is this, guys, it's a lot of squawkers, poopers. Sometimes the birds will fight amongst themselves in the trees. Sometimes, and I don't know if you study birds at all, but sometimes they have their own little territory, and when the other birds come over there, they you know. Does that make any sense to you? Okay, so just let's, it's the fellowship. Okay, just think of it that way. We're all on the boat. We're all on this boat together. It's the fellowship. And as we are in this fellowship, let's not be the fighting sailors in there beating on one another, that the people that are out there drowning look up into the fellowship and say, yeah, these waters are horrible. I'm scared, but who would want to get in a boat with a bunch of fighting sailors? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's love one another. That's a testimony, and the enemy is fighting that as hard as he can. So verse 33, And with many parables, he spoke the word as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So here's, when I was reading this, you're like, well, Bruce, that ain't fair. Well, guess what? Is God in charge or are you in charge? Okay. A lot of us, you know, we'll let him be in charge for a while until it gets too hard. And then we got to get in charge. Okay. But watch this. I wrote this deep theological statement. Are you ready? It's just super deep. Okay. Guess what? We always don't get to know the whole story because you don't know everything. Now, I know you got the interweb at your fingertips, okay? You can gaggle it, and within just a short amount of time, you'll know everything there is. It's just like I told somebody the other day. I was making some kind of statement, and I said, look, I'm exactly like a doctor, except without the education, training, or experience, okay? But this is just exactly like it, okay? So here's the deal. We don't get to know the whole story. And now that I'm almost 35 years old, as I look back at my life, I did not have a clue. As I look back and I'm looking and I'm like, God, you knew exactly what you were doing. What? Why did I? In fact, some of your testimony corresponds with my testimony in that area. And it's like, when that storm was going on and I was being shoved over to this side, I'm like, God, what are you doing to me? What in the world? Right? But guess what? God knows exactly what he's doing and we don't always know. Surprise, surprise. As smart as we are with the gaggle and everything else, we got the interweb. But here's the deal. We don't always get to know the whole story. And here's the deal. I did not have the ability in myself that I recognized to do what God's called me to do at all. I never recognized that ability. I had desire, you know. It's kind of like wishing you had a beautiful cake, you know. And then you get on and start looking at it and say, yeah, there's no way I'll ever pull that off. Okay. But I saw it and desired it, but God has little by little given me what I needed at that time to go to the next level, to go to the right. Does that make sense? Whether this much favor, this much whatever. And he will, you don't always get to see the whole picture. Okay. You don't always get to see the whole picture. So I'm not asking you to respond because we got folks watching this morning, but I am going to tell you, I want you to think about the times in your life when you thought everything was going bad. Good language, okay. Everything's going bad, and at the end of that bad was something good. Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to talk about today, and that was the introduction. It just took a second, okay? So here's the deal. And we got a little bit to it last week and talked about it a little, but I just can't get it. I can't go past it. So in another gospel, before this happens, it goes into detail about the hundreds, the thousands of people that are coming to him. Okay, just call it the multitudes that are coming to him. People are getting healed. Everything's going good. It would be time to build a building and start, you know, taking an offering so we can get an aircraft to fly back and forth to get to those heathens in Blue Eye. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys, literally what Jesus does at that time is say these words. Let's cross over to the other side, verse 35. He left the multitude. It does say that in one sentence. And him along the boat and other boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose. In this life, there's going to be trouble. You ever have a windstorm? Yeah. And I want to tell you something. It's putting you where you need to be. We curse the wind. We try to do all this stuff. But I want to tell you something. In the middle of those storms is when I hold on the tightest to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when I'm holding on the tightest to Jesus, that's when I'm in my best place. Mm-hmm. And guys, I want to tell you, of course, they said, do you not care that we're perishing, we talked about last week. And he rose and said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, I want two things about that. Number one is sometimes he speaks to my heart and says, peace, be still. And nothing around the outside changes. But in my life at times, he has walked out and said, peace, be still. And everything got better. Okay. But I can tell you, wherever we're going to do a song this morning that says it way better than I ever could. But I just want to be where he is. And I want to tell you guys, where we are, when we are with him, we're okay. I have gone to the hospital to visit people before that were in bad shape. And I was miserable, fighting. God, why aren't you doing something about this? Why aren't you, what are we going to do? That? What? Okay. And I walk in there, and because they had surrendered their whole lot, they ministered to me. And before long, we're sitting around laughing. And not fake laugh, not, you know, everything's going to be all right. No, they knew what was going to happen. They knew where they were going. But here's the deal, because they were in the boat with Jesus. And I'd been trying to stand out there, and here's the deal, guys. He literally said, peace be still. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Not so little faith. I think that's a different version. How do you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Do you trust God or not? Do you trust God?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And I know my... my emotions kind of go like this, okay? So things get bad, oh no, you know, or worry, fear, you know, whatever, try to attack you, and all of us are that way. But bottom line, I want you to leave this service or leave this video today and trust him. Trust him, because he is trustworthy. He is faithful. Does everything always work out exactly like I would like for it to and look exactly like I would like for it to look? No. Okay. Quick answer. So let's get to verse 5 and let's talk about food and medical situation. The food is going to be deviled ham, and the medical situation is when the swine flu was invented. Okay. Because those swine flew right off that cliff. And nobody likes that joke. I like that joke. Everybody's just like, shut up. Okay. All right. So when he got out of the boat, he met him out of the tombs, a man with unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. The first point about this guy is very simple. He lives with the dead. The dead is behind you. The living is in front of you. Are you going to live with the dead? Dead dreams. Dead this. Dead that. Dead that. This should have worked out this way. No, that's why you got a tiny rearview mirror. Okay, because I just backed up and did not hit the community building because I used my rearview mirror. Hey, everybody's excited because that I have backed into things before. I'm the number one worst trailer backer you've ever seen. Okay, you've heard a tow backer, but this is trailer backer. Okay, anyway, but the point being, you're worse? Okay, all right. Okay, we always got somebody trying to outbrag me. Okay, but anyway, but the point being is this, guys, here's the deal. He was living in the dead, so let's not live in the past. Now listen, sometimes God resurrects old dreams and they're new dreams, okay? That's fine, okay? But let's not spend our energy, our time grieving over something that's past, okay? So he had his dwellings among the tomb, which would be the dead, and no one could bind him even with chains. This was a strong life-controlling issue. Does that make sense? His whole life was controlled by this. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And guys, as I look at that, think about the amount of people that we have that are cutters, that are struggling, that are going with these things. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I want you to think about this. Who gets up and goes to the refrigerator and gets the water? The people is thirsty. Is that right? Now, that's very simple. Okay. I come home. This is not recent. Okay. We had something come up that we were tied up on scene for 18 hours. Actually, yeah, more than that. And I'm out there in the woods leaning across a log, watching the back side of his house with his, okay, never mind, long story. But the point being is somebody showed up and they had one of them camelbacks on their back that's got water on it. And I hadn't had a drink of water in 8 hours, okay? And I'm dry, it's hot. It was in June, okay? And he says, hey, we're just taking this around. I'm sorry I don't have a glass. I'm sorry to, listen, I wouldn't have cared if it was any shoe. Well, okay, I'm kind of weird about shoes. But anyway, but the point being is I got that thing down. He had to go back to the truck to fill it up for the next guy. Because it wasn't even no air in it when I got done with it. Because that's how thirsty I was. But normally, you know, I wipe off the top of something about 4 times before I drank out of it. But guess what? I was thirsty, and this world is thirsty. This world is hurting, it's dying, and it needs a drink of water. And you say, well, Bruce, I'm just not good enough. Hey, guess what? You are right. You are not good enough. You're not good enough. There ain't nobody good enough. I love this man. He's with Jesus now. But Billy Graham, I was listening to him one time. It was a tape of him or something years ago. And he said, you know, when I stand before the Lord. No. He said, people ask me how I know what's going to happen when I stand before the Lord. And he went into the detail. He said, you know, it's not going to be because I'm not. It won't be because of anything I've done. It's not because of one sermon I've ever preached. It's because that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and I have received that forgiveness. And yes, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have full faith and confidence, but it's not because of anything I've done. And if Billy Graham says that, what am I going to say? Well, you know, I did that. No, I ain't saying nothing, except it's him. And guys, I want to tell you, this guy was thirsty, and he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, what about to do with you, the Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, implore you by God that you don't torment me. Now, these are the Spirit speaking from inside of him. Does God have all power and authority? If you want to do a deep dive, go to Job. The first part of Job, God's on the throne, and the people, not people, the both good and bad angels are coming back by, and he's saying, where you been? What you been doing? And you're like, what? He said, yeah, God's in charge of everything. You know, is the devil here and God here? No. God is, I can't reach that top. Okay, and the devil, so I can't reach that low. Listen, not one time did Jesus show up and say, get out of him. And the devil said, no, you ain't. Not one time did he. Not one time did Jesus say, this guy's going to be healed. Not one time he said, well, no. Okay. So come out that man, unclean spirit, when he says, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, because we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And all the demons begged him, saying, send us the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. That's why they went, because he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 of them. I don't know, you know, I've been around like 40 hogs at a time, but 2,000 hogs might make a mess. I'm just guessing, okay? Anyway, and the herd ran violently down the steep place in the sea and drowned in the sea. So you've got the swine flew off the bank and hit the water, and then you've got the deviled ham. So that you got food and disease right there in the same verse, okay? Some of y'all don't like that, I'm sorry. Okay. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legions sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. So here is another point. Is that moving? Yeah, good. Okay. So literally, guys, sometimes when God moves, it's not like he's ever moved before. And it makes people scared. They're not used to that. They may be used to it looking like, and I'm not going to name any denomination or any social group. It's just that it's always looked like this. And it's always looked like this. And guys, I want to tell you, in this revival that's coming before Jesus comes back, it's going to look a little different. Get ready. Get ready. It's going to be a little different. Now we're the normal church. We're going to be totally normal, as far as anybody knows. Anyway, but here's the point, guys. Literally, it's going to be different. And you're like, yeah, but you know, I like it like this, and I like it like this. Well, don't be Goldilocks, okay? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too big. It's too soft. It's too hard. Don't be that. Do you care more about the people, or do you care more about your process? Is your process the way you do it? Do you worship your process? Or are you willing to take your process and reevaluate it in the light of today? Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you want to do it just exactly like Jesus did it when he was preaching here, okay, we'll have to get our new wardrobes, okay? We'll have to spend a lot of time outside, okay? We're going to have to do a lot of things differently, okay? But here's the deal. I love the fact that at one place, he is got multitudes around him, healing, multiplying food, all this stuff, and two chapters over, he's sitting at a well waiting on one lady. Amen. Because he must go through Samaria. Amen. And you must do what God's called you to do if you want to have the fruit that God's wanting you to have, okay? So you got to be willing to go through the storm. You need to trust him during the storm, because it's not, you know, in this life, there may be a little trouble. And here's the deal. Are we planning that? Are we building our house on the rock or the sand? Because if we're building it on the sand, the storm comes. If you're building your house on the process of religion, okay, that storm starts coming and washing that, you know, and it's going to go. And a lot of people right now are trying to prop that up, trying to make it look like it's supposed to look. Yeah, but you know, this is always done like this, is always done like that. We've always been this, we've always been that. Well, it's time to get this book out here. And this one might have been used a little bit through the years, okay? And the point being is, literally, guys, let's go to the Word, not and use that sword as something that I can make y'all be better. Something that I can be better. To use a scalpel on my heart and let God take away the things, my self-centeredness, my greed, my closed-mindedness, my religiosity, and to carve those off of me and leave something left that God can use to reach the people around us. Okay, this is irritating to me. So it scared them, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Okay, are you scared? Or are you willing to do what God wants you to do? I'm both. I don't mind saying it. You know, because, you know, I like to be comfortable. You know, I like my workout time at a certain time. So here's the deal. The demon-possessed man begged him that he might go with him. Because guess what? We've always got a plan, right? And I don't blame him. You got all these folks over here that are scared, you know, and they know his past, they know this. And it's like, he begged Jesus to go, because this was the plan. The plan is, I'm going to get in the boat with you, and I'm going to hang out with you from now on. Okay, but guess what? God had a different plan. And go home to your friends. Oh, man. Remember, he says, go preach to Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember that when he's leaving, he said, hey, start out at home. Go to your friends. So go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Instead of saying, well, what you need to do is this, what you need to do is that, what you need to do is this, what you need to do that. No. Tell them what God's done for you. And follow him and let him use the sword of the Spirit and the word on them and cut off what needs to be done. And he began to proclaim it in Decapolis that Jesus had done for him. And guess what? He had a testimony. I'm serious. He had a testimony. Just think about it. We have some folks that wander around here from time to time and struggle, okay? Imagine if tomorrow you see them and they're driving a new Range Rover, got a fresh haircut, got a new suit on, and they say, hey, man, guess what? You're not going to believe this. I inherited $1 million. And you wouldn't be saying, no, well, you're driving $100,000. You know, that suit you got on, you know, wow, that's something. But does that make sense? He would be a testimony, because yesterday he was walking up down the street, and today he's not. And we'd be saying, yeah, you got any more rich relatives that with their last name Beelan, or, you know, anything like that? Okay, anyway, so point being is this, guys. He departed and began to proclaim, and that word testimony is our last little bitty point, and we'll quit, okay? Testimony, think about it, T-E-S-T. There's no money without the test, okay? So the test is first. And guys, I'm not going to look out there. But I know that a lot of us have been through tests and trials and suffered. But here's the deal. Us coming out the other side of that is our testimony. And don't be afraid to share that. And going back a few verses, don't put that under a bushel. Don't put that light under, and don't just because you got cracks in you, let it shine. Just let it shine and let it shine through the cracks in you, guys. We're all clay. We're all vessels of clay, chipped at different levels of recovery, different levels of whatever, and let his light shine, and let's use our mouths, let's use our lives, and let's be the men and women God's called us to be. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. God bless you.